You're listening to audio from The Village Church, a community that's formed by the gospel and sent on God's mission, gathering weekly in the heart of downtown Hamilton, Ohio. For more information about The Village or to connect with us, you can find us online at myvillagechurch.com.
Welcome to an episode of the Formed and Sent podcast, a podcast by The Village Church and for The Village Church that gathers in downtown Hamilton, Ohio. My name is Scott. I'm one of the pastors here of The Village, and joining me today is Matt and Michael, also pastors here, staff pastors of The Village as well. We only do these podcasts at this point, it feels like, twice a year for family meetings, hey, which is what this one's for. So if you're listening to this, chances are you're probably maybe listening to this the week of January 26th, leading up to that, leading up to our family meeting, the first one of 2025. And so we do these podcasts, or try to at least, before our family meetings in order to just give folks who are going to gather with us for the family meeting that Sunday, open to anybody and everybody. We'll talk through updates and stuff with the church, but we want to give you like the information and the thoughts and what's in our head in advance, so if you do show up, you have time to think about questions that you might want to ask or just get your thoughts around stuff before we just fire hose blast you on Sunday. It also relieves us from having to say all the things during the family meeting, and that time just gets to be more interactive and high level and open to your questions and dialogue and stuff. So anyways, thanks for listening to this. If you meant to listen to this for that purpose, we do have a number of categories to get through. The first two are always talking about numbers related to people, and the second one is budget stuff as it relates to money and giving and all the things. I will chat for just a minute about people, and then I'll turn it over to Matt to talk about money, and then we'll get into some other stuff. So around people, we look first at just our attendance and what Sunday morning gatherings look like. And so I was able to pull numbers from Sundays all the way back to July 28th, looking all the way to this past Sunday, which was January 19th of 2025. So not quite 6 months. General trend is, as usual, there's a steady increase in folks that are gathering with us. We actually had the highest normal Sunday morning gathering, so not like a holiday or, you know, Mother's Day or anything like that. The highest normal gathering was this past weekend. We had 303 individuals total, humans, in the 210 this past Sunday, which is pretty cool. And then Eve Eve was our highest gathering ever, so the 2024, just this past Christmas Eve Eve gathering. Do you remember what the numbers were for that?
It was 385.
Yeah, it was up there. So 385 humans, probably breaking some fire codes or whatever in the midst of all that, so keep that on the down low. But yeah, which is really cool, so that's exciting. In terms of total humans that we have, the average on a Sunday is around 261. And again, that's pulling from the end of July of last year to January 19th this past week. And the trend line, if you look at that, it's kind of going from 240 all the way up to 290. So that's where it ends, which is pretty cool. In the seats, so when we talk about total numbers, we're talking about in the gathering and also humans that are in Kayville. And so if we just look at the folks that are in the seats in the main gathering area, our average is about 179. And again, that trend line is increasing from 155, and it goes up to 200 here in mid-January or whatever. And so if we look at the last four Sunday gatherings that we've had, the last three out of the four, we've had at least 200 plus people in the seats, like in the main gathering area, which is pretty sweet. So Kayville also is increasing, just a like slight increase, but it's steady. We average about 67 kids in there, and so that kind of means when we look at like a steeper incline trend line for total, and then the kids Kayville line is a little bit less steep. We seem to be gaining some more adults and less kids, which is not a bad thing because we have a lot of kids or whatever. So, and we only have so much Kayville space, so that's helpful too. We do have right now 149 members of the Village, active covenant members of the Village Church. We have 162 folks connected in some way to a community group right now, and then we have 161 individual serving on a team in some capacity. And so that's just really cool. 149 members, but in the 160s for folks connected to a group and a team. And so just really sweet. Love those numbers. Do you guys have any thoughts or questions about any of those things?
No, it's just encouraging. Mm-hmm. Super encouraging to have new people around. And so, yeah, if every number that showed up on a Sunday was a member, that would be a problem. And if none of those people were members, that would be a problem as well. And so to have a gap between the number of members and the number of those showing up is a good thing. That's a healthy thing. That means that new people are connecting. And so just as an encouragement, man, I know it can feel weird. I don't know these people, or should I know them? And I feel that those pressures when I stand by the door week after week, and have I already introduced myself? I don't want to be an idiot and all that. But just encourage you to like go out of your way to be kind. And as my wife, who leads Connections, would say, everyone's really on the Connections team. So just a good opportunity to just reach out and try to make people feel comfortable when they come down the stairs, but also, you know, like meals and whatever. So
yeah, absolutely. It's great. Absolutely. Cool, Matt. You want to talk about money?
Show thing, Scott. Man, we are thankful for last year. Obviously, we talk about money in light of we know this is the Lord's money. We know it's the people here give generously. And so when we talk about dollars and cents, it's in that context. The finance team set a pretty conservative budget last year of $414,000. And we brought in general fund $450,000. And then there was an extra significant gift that was outside of normal extra gifts of $250,000. And so we ended last year, 2024, bringing in about $700,000. And so we're incredibly grateful for that. The elders with the finance team were incredibly intentional with all those extra dollars that came in. We have a plan for that stuff. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But just to highlight a couple of things that we were able to do with those dollars in 2024, we obviously survived the flood and replaced offices and tech stuff and upgraded, just kind of recouped from what was destroyed. We did get compensation increases for staff members. We made big increases to line items for serve team teams and stuff like that that were kind of under invested in. And so we were able to raise those up as a result of these extra dollars. We did actually open up a CD or two, which is a very safe investment vehicle where we were able to get 4-5% on some dollars we put away. And so we were able to start investing in very safe ways, dollars that we got. And we added a staff resident, Tyler, who is doing well, and we're thankful for him. And then we expanded in regards to this space that we rent. We expanded our gathering space. We added a new coffee bar / kitchen. We added an AV booth. And then we also added a new seating area. And so, we're thankful for these opportunities. And we hope that this kind of just builds this level of hospitality and welcomeness as we grow and as we see the numbers that Scott just mentioned. And so we also, in light of 2024, one last thing, we got to give over $70,000 away in light of the money that came in. And it is our desire to certainly invest dollars into the church, but also back out into needs and opportunities like church planting, local go emphasis, and benevolence opportunities. So that's a high level recap of 2024. As we go into 2025, we decided this year to, instead of a conservatively set number, we decided to say, what do we actually think that will come in? And so we set this next year. It's a lot bigger, but we think we will bring in $468,000. That's kind of the target that we think God will allow us to bring in based on trends, based on averages of the last 10 years. This seems like a pretty accurate number. Just to back it up with one statistic, out of the last 12 years, we've exceeded last year's income by 10 out of 12 years by 4% or more. And so when we increase this budget by 4%, which is what we've done, we feel good that this is an accurate and a responsible number to shoot for. So in light of even just, you know, some additions to the budget, as it did go up a decent amount, we increased church planting another percent. And then there are multiple line items that we decided to invest in as well. One of them was actually benefits the finance team, and we hired an accountant from the outside of our church to help us. What this does is this helps me with some of the book work that is at a higher level that I'm used to. Also, this provides another layer of accountability with you all. So now we have an outside accountant that is looking at numbers. We have a finance team that is aware of numbers, and the elders are aware of numbers. And so our desire, as we work with numbers, as things get bigger, we want to make sure that that trust holds and that you know that we are responsible and putting in processes and procedures as well. And so that is helpful. That was an extra expense though. So we, for this year, as we're looking at stuff, church planning went up. At an accountant, we are adding a savings line item, which isn't huge, but it is a savings line item that wasn't there before. Healthcare costs went up as well. Medical team, there's new teams that we've started to fund. And then lastly, we did, this was an opportunity, the Women's Gift Exchange. That event at the end of the year really wasn't funded, and the women were doing a lot of work to kind of do that themselves. And so the church decided to say, let's pay for that because it is such an opportunity to invite women in, to grow discipleship. And so we added that amongst many other line items as well. And so the budget did grow significantly, but all for good reasons. Lastly, we want to talk about what the finance team is doing, and I'll wrap this up real quick. These are the planned initiatives. We want to fully fund serve teams better, even in 2025. We are evaluating Kayville needs on that side of the building in regards to space, in regards to tech stuff, in regards to just the look of it. Like I said, we mentioned outsourcing payroll, and our goal this year is to continue to invest in money market accounts and CDs to grow some of the money that we're saving for a potential building, and we'll talk about that later. And lastly, we're trying to firm up processes and procedures that allow us to operate in healthy ways. That's a lot. I hope I didn't go too fast. You guys can add whatever to it, but that's kind of a breakdown real quick. And more will come on Sunday with PowerPoint and stuff like that.
That's super helpful, Matt. I like the increased accountant ability. That was good. I like that. You said we're getting a building, too. Gosh, you said a lot of stuff.
Man, so many things.
We're not. Don't stop now. One just thing that's an observation. We have several accounts that are percentages, like giving to church planting, for example, and mission, benevolence, whatever it is. If it's a percentage, then as that number, as the overall number grows, then those numbers grow. And so
absolutely,
there it's not just, hey, the budget increased by 40,000 or whatever. It's like the percentage of that sometimes eats into a large part absolutely of those, like, margins, so to speak. And so the other thing is just as a thank you, I've been on staff around here for since the beginning in some way. I was a teacher for the first almost 3 years, and then kind of full-time since then. Scott's been around for how long?
I don't know.
Yeah. Matt, you know, how long have you been around?
2016, I think.
Scott came on 2016 full-time. Yeah. I came on late 2017 full-time.
And we've just not... We've been kind of satisfying our own retirement, and so that is one of the things that, you know, in working with the finance team, the budget team, and the elders... The non-staff elders have just been really kind and gracious. Absolutely. to begin to kind of like help us get to a place to where at some point, you know, we can step off the stage for the last time or whatever. It's, but also I'm not retiring anytime soon. So, but just seriously, thanks for that. And also, man, that stuff costs money. And so when you just talk about our priorities, again, thinking about percentages, and those percentages should reflect our priorities. Mm-hmm. And so that's how we kind of get to look at that stuff. Staff is certainly a part of that. And and we are staff heavy in terms of we have 3 full-time staff, 3 part-time staff. And, you know, we do enough around here to where we could pay 5 more part-time staff easily. And so it's we have it really good. We love it. But that's just a big part of kind of the way that we do things around here. Ministry and mission, local and global, as Matt mentioned, getting some of those things to where, gosh, we're being incredibly generous in such a sweet way. The one-time gift that Matt mentioned, we gave, I think, 40,000 right off the top, 20,000 local, 20,000 global. And so just sweet opportunities to say, all right, we've been given much. How can we give much? And we try to reflect that. And certainly the facility, while it is our greatest you know, it's such a low cost for us as it is right now, and it enables us to do some of those other things. It's why we can be staff heavy, but it does cost money, and we did invest some last year. And so, yeah, I just thanks for all those updates, Matt, and thanks for your generosity as you've given all that you have. So
it's really good. Yeah. Yeah. And thanks to the finance team for navigating floods and insurance and, you know, yeah, one-time gifts and building, like just other crazy stuff last year. You guys did a great job, and Matt didn't lose his mind, and like, I think we're all encouraged, as we always are, by the way that the team serves and leads and all those things. But in particular, last year was just kind of threw some curveballs, and yet I think it was also like maybe one of the most encouraging years we've had just as a team or whatever. So thanks for all you guys do. That said, want to shift over to talking about, you know, Matt said we're buying a building.
can't wait to hear about
we've it. Already yeah, I can't one. Wait, Matt. This is news to me. I want to talk about just space in general, be that other spaces or this space or actually how we can fit like sardines down here, whatever. So, Mike, what do you want to just kick off that?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I think we were somewhat surprised by the amount of voice in 6 months ago. The last family meeting was like, I don't even know if we were talking about spaces at all.
No, we were like, we're changing our Bible translation. we're good with doing two gatherings at some point. Like all this other, yeah. We're like things that we might, you know, kick the hornet's nest or whatever.
Yeah. Oh, they're going to be upset. Like ESV. Okay. Yeah. Everyone's two like, gatherings. Fine. Okay. When can we get above ground? So gosh, we just get it, like with loads of empathy. And there are times when we've just loathed this space when it had the flickering fluorescent lights, and I just I hated it so bad, and yet we were thankful for it. And then now it's a little nicer, and like we like it a little better. And at the same time, we get it: low ceilings, dark basement. Like we totally get it. I think, yeah, mentioning the numbers, EV 386. That was a bit of a surprise. Also, the surprise that the sprinklers didn't go off when we had hundreds of candles with all those people. Over 300 last week, near that the week prior. And so those things, and we don't share those things to boast in anything. There are churches far larger than ours. And so it's not like that. It's just we want you to know. People sometimes ask, how big is our church? Because it's kind of hard to tell in this space, like how many people show up. So those are the numbers. The opportunities are, well, we've had a few in the last 6 months. Rick Meyer, we know and love Rick, part of Meyer Brothers, connected to the city. Man, he had a great opportunity. We chatted about maybe like sharing some space and doing some different stuff, and we kind of chased that down until it didn't make any more sense. And then there was another building on Maple, like we'll even say that much, on Maple, that the realtor texted me about yesterday. I haven't even texted her back, right? And it's just like there's an opportunity there, but then the cost to, like, our ideal is like find a warehouse that's empty and make it our own, and the cost of the idea is pretty great. And so, you know, whether we have to spend $1 or $500,000 to buy a building and then to make it what we need, we have been having conversations about, oh, we're in the $1.5-$1.7 million range to get this building or that building to where we want it to be. And that's just so that we could be safe and get in there. That's not, you know, fountains and luxury.
Right.
And so we just say, gosh, and sometimes we leave and we chat about that, and we're really excited. And by the next day, it's like, I don't know. Like, and I think what I would just say about it is getting things done in church life is just so different. I was talking to Tyler about this morning. In the world, you pay people to execute tasks, and if they don't do them, you fire them. Moving ministry and discipleship and making things happen, whatever that is in church life, it's just a lot of energy and effort and a lot of volunteerism and a lot of stuff. And there are a lot of things that's about. And what we never want to be is just, I do not want to be a slave to a building. And so I'm all for it. But if we're going to spend $1.5 million, that's going to mean something. And it's going to have a different cost than not having windows or having low ceilings. The other thing is, none of the spaces that we've looked at will seat more than 300 people. And so then you're saying, all right, so are we willing to invest $1.5 million, which we can't do. We're just not in a place where we can do that. we talked to the bank. We pursued lots of investment options, and we just asked questions. And so we talked to our bank that we've banked with for whatever 15 years, and they said this is what that would look like. And so we've gotten information. But then we're like, all right, so you guys are going to give $1 million for what gain? And it's so we can have taller ceilings, and we can have natural light, and we can immediately go to two gatherings, which we know you don't want to either. And so I don't say any of that because I'm the same way. I want those things as well. And so I think it's just we are chasing down opportunities.
Yeah.
We heard of another one recently. We ask questions about it. We chase it down until it becomes like stupid or sinful, and then we say, well, that's just not going to work. And so, yeah, I could keep talking, but do you guys have anything to interject in there?
Yeah, absolutely. So in light of that, Michael set up really well. We are taking steps to bridge the gap from where we are now to if something came up that we could say is a healthy fit for us. And so the finance team, elders, all that stuff, we are, like I said, saving money. We have saved a chunk of this extra gift that we got that I mentioned earlier. It is safely invested in a money market account and CD stuff, kind of growing. And our goal is to bridge the gap, right? Like current reality, we can't afford a $1.5 million building with also doing ministry as we would normally like to do it, right? Without strapping teams, asking so much from you that no one wants to be here anymore. And so the reality is, apart from a miracle, we live in reality. And so we are saving, we're investing into things, we have plans, we know what we would like in a building, we have all the details for that. And so, but right now we're kind of in a waiting position, knowing that it would be great to have a building. Also, we know the impact that would come to teams, you know, clean team or utilities, everything. It's not just the cost of the actual facility, but it is, and you might know this, but it is also the cost of utilities. And if the roof leaks, that's on us, or if something floods, that's on us. And so we're trying to be mindful of all the costs that might be associated with something like this.
Right. And time and energy. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, it's an asset to own a building. And it is on, you know, a balance sheet or whatever. Yeah. That's an asset. Is that the right word? Balance sheet? I'm not.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
See, I got it right.
It's not a liability.
Not a liability. But it is, we are assuming liability then for, the roof and the parking lot. And what if the elevator breaks? And what, just all the things, then we're on the hook for that. And we have to, right now we have Rob and, Chester. Like there are people who are the building maintenance guys that like Primary Health. We would have to have those people, right, to like, hire them or have them to do the work. And, we're paying. It is an assumed liability on that side of things. And, just at the end of the day, like thinking about what do we to move into a new space. Again, if we have 330-ish maybe seats here in the 210 that we can fill, and maybe at max pipe dream is like 340 in some of the space, but it's like realistically more three. We aren't going to gain the ability to kick back, really when we have to go to two gatherings, if that's a thing that we need to do at some point. We don't have more leg room, or in fact, like most of the spaces we're looking at, to find a building or a space that has a big, wide open space, one big one that fits that many people, and then has other spaces for us to hang out in. It's just not like, it just doesn't exist. Like every other place we've looked at, it's like, oh yeah, here's this space that has, it can maybe fit a few hundred people, but then like if you want to go anywhere, you got to go out the door, right? Like there's no, like you just kind of mosey to the commons area and stand and chat and whatever. Like it's not there. And that I think would affect our culture in some ways. Big picture though, like I think just how would moving to a new space genuinely change the ministry that we do? Like, all those things, assuming all of that stuff, the cost, everything else, like what are we actually wanting or needing as a church to effectively advance the ministry that we're already doing, given the constraints of some of the spaces here in the city that we've looked at. And I just don't know that there's a huge upside, like when we look at it from that perspective. Like, so yeah, I don't know, it's a big part of the conversation,
I mean, and it sounds like we're just selling the 210 to you, which we're not, because like we've put energy and investment in in climbing out of...
Into leaving.
Yes. And so, but there's nothing that we're not telling you. Ask us, we will talk about it. We probably have shared desires. It's just at what cost and what does that look like financially, but then all the other ways. I mean, we currently, in the last year, or I'd say 2 years, those around us, they've probably invested several hundreds of thousands of dollars just in the parking that we get to use. We have the best parking lots in the entire city, directly in front of us and directly behind us. Granted, you have to walk through a questionable alley if you park in the back, which, we totally get it. So I'm just saying, the parking situation is another thing where we're looking, and there was a space that was like, oh, this could work. We reached out to the city. We're like, what is the, what's going on with this lot? Well, we don't know. Probably not going to be parking. Okay, but you have the parking garage. Okay, would our people want to walk 2 blocks when it's -2 this Sunday? Oh, you have all the parking in the world. You just park in the parking garage.
Yeah.
And you have to walk 2 blocks. And it's
and there's a train that blows by you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which,
right behind you.
Which maybe we'll present those things as positives if we decide that these things work. But then it's like, okay, do you want to be the one driving the golf cart back and forth to pick people up? And we said dead serious. That's just part of the thing. And so everything comes at a cost. And it's we get it. And we really do get it. We really do want to be above ground. We really do want natural light, vitamin D, windows,
right.
Tall ceilings, and our hearts can go there. But we are also trying to protect at what cost. So we're just open about it. We're pursuing opportunities. If you have opportunities, let us know. If you have great ideas, let us know. We're here to chat about it.
Let us know if you have job openings for Matt and I. If you really want to do a building, because we'll have to quit our jobs, because we can't lose Michael and we can't lose Kia or Katie.
Probably keep Kia and Katie, and the three of us will find employment. Because
that's how the math works. Also, speaking of space, thinking about that, in terms of, I know we've mentioned a couple gatherings, doing 2 gatherings or whatever. Michael, do you want to speak to that?
Yeah, one last thing. We want the facility that we gather in to support the work, the mission, and the ministry that we're trying to do, not distract from it. And we just know. I mean, we know churches that have huge facilities that, there's a relatively local church. They pay $40,000 a month for their facility. Insanity, and... there's another scenario. Someone has a budget that's maybe a third larger than ours. It's in another state, but their goal is to raise $2 million over the next 2 years. And it's like, okay, what do you have to do that? We're not above whatever, but we want you to know that we're mindful. We're asking questions and we're open books. Yeah, as far as 2 gatherings, we'll start that this week and henceforth. Just
You just elevated about 60 people's heart.
Yeah. Relax. We're mindful. Yeah, we're just mindful of the space limitations, the stuffiness, mindful of what people who write books on, hey, what it feels like to be a visitor in your church and all those things. 80% rule, something that's been around for decades, that when your church is 80% full, it is full. Even when, but there's a seat right here. It's just the way that it feels for people. And so we kicked around at elders meeting yesterday, just the idea of maybe doing 2 gatherings this Easter. Because this past year we had, I think you said, 340?
What did I say?
Right, I think it was 340.
340 was in 2024.
Which is a huge number. And so it's just... 6 months ago, we told you guys that out of a celebration of necessity, we're willing to do 2 gatherings for as long as we need to, with a desire to be one church that meets at one time and one place. And so we had kicked around, and we've not declared this is going to be the thing, but we would love to shoot towards, hey, maybe on Easter, that's a good trial run for us, that we go back to 1 gathering afterwards and we get to learn from that and we get to see what happens. And so the possibility of this Easter having 2 gatherings. And I know, I hear you in your car right now, but if I bring family and I want them to, and we kind of talked through that 6 months ago, we get the cost of that as well. But we also want to enable and equip our team leaders to be able to, like, not just in theory solve problems, but on the ground solve problems with some experience and say, yeah, what does that look like? What does it feel like? How can we learn? How can we grow? So
yeah, I think it's that possibility, if we do that, allows us to consider what solutions and how that works before it becomes like a necessity, you know? And so, like, on a holiday, and again, looking at Eve, this past one, which was 385, which is more than, you know, 340. And so, like, yeah, there's probably a practical, hey, it makes sense to maybe, like, what if, you know, split it down the middle. If we had 350 total people, which is maybe lowballing what we could have on Easter, you know, two gatherings of 175 or, you know, two gatherings of 200. So, like, there's some maybe practical, you know, stuff to that as well. But also, like, if we just wait to, like, do it until we absolutely need to, then, like, it just feels like the pressure's on a little bit more. Whereas, if we do dabble in this in Easter and just do it for one Sunday, we could probably learn some stuff. And how's that feel? And how'd that work? And what aren't we thinking about? And all those other things. It gives us an opportunity to learn, even if we never ever do it again. But if and when maybe we have to, like, I think we would be grateful to at least kick around, you know, if that's a that's a thing that we want to do. So
I think it'll help us to see impact to teams. It'll help us to see times and when one starts and how long it takes to transition people out and in and stuff like that. We are very aware of how it impacts you as well with, hey, maybe families have to stay longer or something like that. So please know that as we talk about this, there's a mindfulness of the individual, of the member. And so we're doing this slowly and with a lot of intentionality.
Yeah.
Yeah. Make room. That's what that kind of looks like, so that we might make God known. Mm-hmm. It's part of the hospitality piece.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Yeah, for sure. One other thing, last thing around space stuff. Yeah, just with the building, whether we, you know, whatever, stay, go, no matter what. We do want to give some attention to the Cable Hallway. We talked about that at the last family meeting. Matt, I don't know if there's anything else to really share around that, but
yeah, we talked with you guys saying, hey, in 2024, it's this side of the building with the stage, the gathering space, and we kind of declared that next year, 2025, would be the kids' side because we know it needs work. And a next step that we've talked with Katie about at our last staff meeting, and we asked her to prioritize a list of maybe needs because we know that we rent, and so, and also we know that, hey, we are actually looking for spaces above ground, and so we would hate to invest a ton of money into that. But our action step is to hear from her, what are the things, a facelift, lighting, you know, tech stuff, what can we do? And we're kind of in the middle of hearing back and seeing what those priorities are.
Yep.
And we also know the member interview that you guys were like, hey, that part's ugly. And we're like, okay, we get it. Right.
We're like, hey, we're offended by that. You don't like the cave adventure vibe that we're going for when you walk into the dimly lit hallway. cool. Want to hit on just the theme of the year, bold imitation. You know, last year we talked about hospitality and we kicked off the year with making room, that being our series where we wanted to talk about, you know, opening the door to hospitality as a church, not because we are terrible at hospitality, but because we wanted to just make it an emphasis. We want to continue growing in that area. And so this year, as you know, kicking off 2025 with a series, Make Known, where we want to, now that we've, like, discussed hospitality, hopefully grown in our ability to invite, to have folks in with us, we want to invite folks into our lives and into life with Christ. And so that's the thought behind the series, but also it's bigger than just, like, oh, it's a topical sermon series in January. It's a thing that we want for the year to grow in. Michael, you've hinted on it, even during, you know, preaching or whatever. Do you want to just share a little more about, like, yeah, where that came from, why, what we're hoping to do this year?
Yeah, I mean, we want to boldly invite people to believe, and I think we'll link the series setup, which kind of helps spell out the theme and all that stuff, in this wherever Scott, you know, magically puts the links or whatever, wherever that shows up. But I just, like, very simply, I would say we know that we want to be disciples who make disciples, and that's not anything new. If that's new to you, then gosh, like, that's not good, right? So we want to be disciples of Jesus who make disciples, and maybe my default, maybe our default, that can be lofty, like up in the clouds, and it's like we live in some theory of disciple making, or like we say things that are like, I don't know, lofty. And what I think just personally I think what I'm learning and what I want to lead our church in is to bring that down to just simply engaging people with the gospel. And it's more than evangelism. We decided not to use that word. It's more than just saying things, but it's not less than. And so for me, it's learning to say things more simply, and it's learning to like think about things more widely. And we want to be a church that continues to be rooted deeply, theologically robust, and I think that we are. That's not going anywhere. But we also want to give practical tools, practical resources, bring clarity, so that we can, through the series, know Him. You know, that's why we started off the series. I mean, we just want to know the gospel, figure out what it looks like to live in light of the gospel. As Scott preached Sunday, we want to say words that are the gospel. And this week, I'll be talking about just kind of being prepared urgently, in season and out, to be able to actually live a life and say words that declare the truth of Jesus. And so we've grown slowly. Much of our growth over the years, I don't think I've said this out loud, is largely transfer growth. Much of it is. And so what that means is someone left a church and came here and showed up. Oh, great. And like they're burnt out of their church and they're probably going to be burnt out of this church or whatever. And so that's great. We love that. We want this church community to be like salve on the wearied Christian. And one of our favorite things is to tell people to just, hey, just don't serve for 3 months or 6 months and just receive the church. But also we want to be a church that grows, that we're not talking about, man, we might have to have two gatherings, but it's either we tell people to stop coming in or we go to two gatherings or we move outdoors or whatever it is. But I would love to see like God just open up the gates and that we could, man, baptize dozens or hundreds of people in the coming years to make an impact in the kingdom. And so, yeah, I think this year, how can we make God known? And that starts really simply, but we want to do our part to equip everyone who's a part of the village that you might be able to do that in a more confident way.
Yeah. And we've thought about it practically on our side as well. For, you know, if someone fills out a Connect card, one of the boxes they can check is, hey, I want to follow Jesus. And it's like, okay, great. Like, but tangibly, like, what are we then doing to it? Like, what plan do we have in place to, and that we're inviting people into, to walk alongside of them, to help them know Jesus? And, you know, we connect with them, you know, Kim sends out an email, Michael sends a thank you card, and we follow up, and we, you know, hey, you plugged into a group, you know, let's chat, let's whatever. So we like get them connected, but if there's someone who is like, I just want help following Jesus, I feel like we've said this as elders, like we're more prepared for all kinds of other scenario. What happens if, you know, a kid trips and skins his knee? Like, we have a team that's on that and ready to go, and we know where things are and things are labeled, and we have first aid kit. You know, like, we're maybe more equipped in some very easy, simple, practical ways to deal with that than we are someone who raises their hand and says, I want to follow Jesus. And so we have a super healthy culture of people who want other people to know Jesus, and, you know, the theological richness and depth is not an enemy to invitation and simplicity. But we get to like make those connections clear, and we also get to put some formal, simple things in place. And so part of what is kind of coming out of conversations at the end of last year that spills into this year is just genuinely wanting to have resources available. I want to follow Jesus. Well, like, does that mean you don't even know where to start? Does that mean, you know, like your daily habits and routines and just in my daily life, I want to grow in that? Or personally, like I just personal growth, like there are things I need to get through or work through. I want to understand the Bible more. There's maybe even different categories of what someone is saying when they say that. And so, you know, this is some of the stuff that Michael's mentioned. We want to have, one, resources available, things that we would point you to, things that we can maybe even hand you just on a Sunday morning and say, ah, you want this here. Like, we want you to read this, listen to this, go through this. We want to talk about this with you and process this with you. I think this will be super helpful We want to have those things on hand to be able to give to people. And we also want to train people in the church and equip them to know what it just practically looks like to help other people follow Jesus, so that it's not, you know, just someone answering a Connect card or an email or whatever, but that we have mature people in the church, and we have plenty of those, but who just know what it looks like to respond, you know, kind of develop some reflexes and some competency and give some stuff to you guys so that you know what to say, what to offer, what to invite people into, you know, whether you're like, you know, wanting to invite someone to coffee and someone says, I want to be discipled, like, and you want to be that person, but you don't know how to do that. We want to help you with that. We want to say, hey, here's some things that if you want to be ready, like read this thing. And again, process that with us, go through this class, or like there. So there are some very simple things we're trying to do on both ends to help people follow Jesus and to help people who want to help people follow Jesus grow in those ways. So that's a resource list and stuff that will show up probably on the website in a very easily accessible way for you guys to get to. It'll show up in classes. I talked about Discipleship for Everyone. Next month in February, we'll have that in the morning aimed at just genuinely trying to make y'all feel more comfortable and competent and confident in Jesus, that he loves to make disciples and that he has called you to do that as well. And so big picture and practically, what's that look like? We'll talk about gospel fluency probably in a class later in the year. And also just we want to make explicit, you know, as we continue to have rhythms of Bible studies, which we'll talk about in a minute, and Connect Month and men and women's events. Like, we just genuinely want you to take advantage of those low-hanging fruits for you to go to those things and for you to invite people that you know into those things as well to partake in what we already have going on. Because there is a lot of good stuff already happening that you can invite folks into. So, yeah, other thoughts?
Yeah. I mean, man, like, an analogy for this is people come to know the Lord here. We've had baptisms this year, but it is a little bit more of like, we want more than that. And so we want this to be like not the husband and wife that have their first kid and it blows up their life and everything's crazy. We want what happens when people put their faith just to be like when a husband and wife have their fifth kid and they just knock this thing out and they're like at the store, fifth kid comes, boom, they're in the gym tomorrow and they're like ready for it. They're used to this. This is the plan. And that's our desire in a somewhat funny way, but serious way, is to be like, no, like we know how to do this. We're ready for this. We are expecting this. We have a plan, and that's kind of what these guys have been talking about. So
yeah, it's really good. Any other thoughts on that?
Nope.
Cool. Sweet. So hopefully you guys catch that vision and are excited about that. Hopefully you are thinking about people in your life that you want to come to know Jesus, or maybe who do, but like are just struggling in their faith, don't know what it looks like to follow him. Like we want you to be thinking about those people and praying for those people. And those are the people that we want to help you. It will help to equip you to speak to and talk to and invite into stuff or whatever. And so like we're praying for that alongside of you. And yeah, for real, let us know as those people come to mind, if there are specific questions, reach out. That's literally what we're here for, is to pray with you and bear with you in those things.
You have in this kind of section, Connect Month and stuff, kind of hit on that.
Yeah, go for it.
So Connect Month, I mean, it's probably, I don't know, 2 years we've been doing that, three times a year. To Scott's point of, hey, someone raises their hand, they want to follow Jesus. It's like, all right, like, we shouldn't be like, oh my gosh, who do we tell? Where do we go? Like, it should be, and to Matt's point, it should be like, man, this is great. Let us celebrate and let us give you legs to stand, a foundation on which to stand, legs to stand, and room to grow, which I hope by the end of this year we have some of those things in place. Connect Month is an opportunity for many of those stages to take a next step, and we say that all the time, but it is new to Christ or like new to the church, or I've been around, I want to connect, I want to be a part of this church family, I want to call these people my people. And so there are ways. I don't want you to think about Connect Month as just something that happens around you, but you get to participate in that. And if you've been in community group with somebody that you know is not a member and they've been around for a while, just ask, hey, like, what's the deal? Is there something, is there a hold up? Is there something I can, you know, can I help you chat with one of the elders? Or like just be accessible to like work through obstacles in people's lives. If somebody is sporadic, but like, I don't know, we have I'm New Here Huddle, like, say, hey, I will stay after with you. Mm-hmm. And I would love to sit and just hear, like, all we do in that is tease out the welcome with a little more, you know, a little more skin on it and say, what do we mean that we're a gospel formed community, you know? And so like, you get to participate in that. The Connect card, you might think, like, oh, that's a thing. But that is the thing that puts people in a workflow, a pipeline, so that we can regularly give them what they need to actually connect. Kim does not lead the greeters team. Like, she will get mad at you if you say that. She's like, no, we want to own the mission and connect the people. And so you guys get to be a part of all of those things. And so when you hear Connect Month, don't like, it's just a spectator thing. You can be involved. And even sitting by someone that looks lost, like, hey, like, just be aware of who's around you. And be aware of that what we're doing is not trying to just add something else into a gathering. We are not trying to make things more complicated. Trust me, we are not trying to do that. We're trying to simplify, and you have a part to, like, help us bring leverage to those things. And if there's things that aren't happening that you think, man, I talked with several people, it would be great if we did X, Y, or Z, like, let us know. We want to learn and grow and adapt to be as helpful as we can around those things. So.
Yeah. I literally had the picture of current members or regular attenders of the village, like, staying after or going with other people to these things, even if they don't need to be there. So if you have friends, people that you're inviting to church, go with them to the I'm New Year huddle. Go to the village gate with them if you're already a member. Say, you might not know anybody, I'll go with you and sit through the class and do the thing or whatever. Like do that stuff. You're not sure if baptism or I'll go with you. Like, I would love to go and stay after with you, and we can chat about that and process that stuff together, whatever. Like, that's a part you get to play. After a Sunday morning gathering, don't stand in front of the Connect desk so that guests can't actually get there. But, like, gosh, what if you, like, mosey to the front and just hover around somewhere, and if someone does go up and they're new and they're filling a card or whatever, like, you could say hey and meet them while you're there, like, as they try to run away or really quick out the door. Like, you could say hello. So there are just really practical ways that, like, I think, like, you guys can help us, as you have forever. You're a fantastic, hospitable, loving, communal, focused church. And there are some practical things that you also get to imagine doing that I think would go a long way to help you feel more comfortable and also to invite new folks to come alongside and follow Jesus too. So I have some just nuts and bolts things of what to expect in church life. So some of that stuff's calendar. So like we just talked about, Connect Month is next month. The Discipleship for Everyone class is next month. That'll be in the mornings from 9 to 10 a.m. Throughout February, just 4 Sundays. Connect Month stuff, not three of you might care about this, but, like, we usually do the I'm New Year huddle first. We're going to do actually Baptism Basics the first Sunday of February. That gives us more time to actually follow up with those who might want to be baptized instead of making it some mad dash to get together with folks and all of that or whatever. So, but yeah, Baptism Basics will happen. Baptism Sunday will happen if there are folks who want to get baptized. I'm New Here Huddle will happen, and the Village Gate will happen. So all of that is happening in February. Would love to have you or folks that you know participate in that. We're going to have some deacon training that is happening just a couple Saturday mornings in February and March. If you know, you know. If you don't, hey, don't worry about it. Unless you're a deacon, then you should know about it. We have a Bible study. So we're going to do some different rhythms for Bible studies this year, a couple every year. The spring Bible study is going to be through Leviticus. And if you just made a face or winced, then that means that you're exactly the kind of person that actually needs to study Leviticus. So the way that's going to look is, I think it's March through May, Sundays after the gathering, both men and women going through that book. But men and women will meet separately, and it will happen every other week. So, for example, the first Sunday of the Bible study, I think it's the women maybe meeting that Sunday. They will talk through, I guess, lesson one or whatever of the study that we're going through. The next week, it'll be the guys that meet after Sunday, and they will talk through lesson two. So they're not playing catch up or whatever, doing two at once. They'll just talk about that week's thing, and then it'll be women, men, women, men. And so if you want to process the weeks that are off with someone, you can do that on your own time. If you can't make Sunday afternoons work, that's okay. We will give information about the particular study we're doing and all of that. So you guys can do that on your own time or in your own little groups if you want to outside of Sundays. But that's the way we're going to try, at least this time, how to do a Bible study. So that is happening again March through May. Good Friday and Easter, it's April 19th and also April 18th and 20th. I believe those are the dates. Good Friday and Easter. Again, we may end up doing two gatherings on Easter Sunday, TBD, but we'll chat more about that as the date approaches. Man Camp is April 25th through 27th. Bridge Camp is May 30th through June 3rd. Folks are going back to Guatemala, June 7th through the 13th. Women's Retreat is June 27th through June 29th. And then later in July, which is actually we might do our next family meeting will be at the end of July, right? So I'll say these dates. Caneville Adventure Days, July 17th through 19th. And the Summer Picnic will happen on July 20th. So you will not remember any of those things if you're just listening to them. But I want to say them. You can have some idea of what the next several months look like here in Village Life. Wanted to reemphasize for us as well on the calendar, our rest months. You may or may not know that we have these, with the exception of maybe knowing that your group doesn't meet for a month every now and then. We specifically set aside the months of April and August and December as rest months here at the Village. And yes, we don't generally gather in groups during those months, but that's not just for fun or willy-nilly or because we get sick of each other. We genuinely believe that the Lord calls us to rest. And while, you know, in terms of programs and activities as a church, even though I just read a lot of things, like we don't have like a million things going on. Our desire is still for us to not burn out people in serving. Our desire is not to have like meetings and huddles every single Sunday after the gathering and you're always staying late and you're spending all your time here. And so like we literally set aside a few of those months a year, again, April, August, and December, where we're intentionally going to not try to have nearly as many huddles and meetings. We're not going to gather in groups. That gives our leaders and hosts and other people just time to chill and refresh and reflect and all those things. And yeah, we want to have some space in our calendar where there's not giant big events happening or other a million activities going on. So we want to like slow the pace down a bit. We think that's what the Lord calls us to do, and that's been in place for a long time, and we've had some years better and worse at doing that, but we genuinely want to make an attempt at just capturing those months and using that time to pause and breathe. Anything else to add there?
I mean, it's a good reminder. It's easy when you look at a calendar, or you might hear something, deacon training, or this, what, you know, as the kids would say, this, that, and the third. You might hear about something and be like, gosh, that's a bad month for that. And just to let you know, like, if you look at a calendar and you're trying to plan for the year, every month is a bad month, every single one of them. And so it's just like, there's not, well, people have to, and so it's like, it's a good reminder to like, okay, there are no great months for anything, but we get to try to let those three be a little more, you know, void in mm-hmm. terms of stuff. And you mentioned huddles, and I know some of you are involved in many things, and in many things where you have to hang out afterwards or before. Finance team meets before, bands here on Thursday night. We invite those that lead teams and groups to a couple huddles a year. We encourage all of those people to have huddles with their own teams, and some of those people serve on teams, and it can be a lot. And so we know Sundays can feel full, and they can be full. I would just say philosophy of ministry-wise, Sundays are full. You might have a huddle or two a month at times, but we really try not to take up Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday nights to have, like, you know, budget meetings or anything like that, so that we're not competing with your community group, which we want to value, like, as the potentially second highest prize in your week. Show up on Sundays, meet in groups. And so we get it. I'll just say we get it. We try to be mindful. Things scale. Sometimes when they scale, it's a little clunky. And so we're trying to be mindful of those things as well. And so, yeah, I think those rest months are good reminders for me as well. So
Matt, I skipped over the prayer night that's happening in February. Do you want to say anything about what that looks like? I think it's February 26th.
Yeah, it's on a Wednesday. Yeah, thanks. Just briefly, so in the past, we've done two worship nights a year. Many people have been a part of that. Angie has a big significant role. The bands do as well. And so this year, we would like to have one bigger worship night, bands, music, a little longer, maybe in October. That'd be maybe an hour and a half. And that is kind of what you're used to, with maybe some breakout sections and opportunity for reflection. But the change is, when we would normally have a worship night in February, we're changing that to a little more low-key opportunity for just prayer, where we reflect on local mission and global mission. And so the thought right now, as we've talked with Tammy, who helps lead Global Go, and Liv, who helps lead Local Go, the thought would be that each of those present and just highlight some stuff for about 10 minutes. Maybe it's people from their team, maybe it's a PowerPoint, but we update our church and whoever wants to be a part of that on what God is doing. And then right after that, we pray as a church, whoever's there, for about 15 minutes for Local Go, and then vice versa. Also, we hear from Global Go, and then we pray for that as well. There might be one or two really simple songs, but it's about an hour. We would love for each group to maybe pause where they're at and whatever they're doing, and maybe invite their group to this thing. We don't want it to be like looked at as a night off, but more of an opportunity to reflect as a church on what God has been doing through missions, and then be able to pray a little bit as well. So more details to come on that, but that's a shift. We're going from two worship nights to one, adding in an emphasis on prayer.
Cool. Thanks, Matt. I appreciate that. Last thing that I have, nuts and bolts wise, is just a quick thing on Church Center. So I know that we moved to that last year, right? Beginning of last year, which is crazy. It feels like it was 8 years ago. And we did that to address the need of like not having fragmented, it's a GroupMe here and a Slack here and a thing here and email. And so trying to like combine all the things into one thing, giving and kids check in and list all the stuff into one spot. We know it's not perfect, that like it is not the perfect solution, because there is no like 100% perfect solution to all the things that we need as we need them, as we would like to use them, as you would like to use them, all that. Totally get that. Way better than what we were doing before though, and I think by and large we're happy with the shift. That said, like, we know that not everyone loves Church Center, and we're not asking you for it to be your favorite thing. It's not going to be the next TikTok whenever they ban or unban, whatever. You're not going to just be eager to hop on there and whatever and be excited when you get a notification because it's something fun and, a 15-second, cat video or whatever. But first of all, if you have questions about stuff or if you have thoughts about, how we might utilize it better, let us know. Just know there has been... millions of hours of thought and intentionality into why we have things the way that we have them based on what we can and can't do, with the app or whatever. But man, we want to hear if you have thoughts or questions about how we can better use that stuff for sure. But secondly, if you're a member of the church, or if you're in a group, or you're in a team, or you're somebody that needs to know stuff or be reachable by other people in the church, use the app. We're just asking you to use it. I know that there's some frustrations about some things and whatever, but sign up for stuff, RSVP for things, react to messages, those sorts of things. Just an encouragement for you to do that, because it honestly is a way for you to serve the church and to be in on the church, for you to love and care for the other people that you might be in a group or a team with. And particularly the people that are leading stuff for you. We just commissioned 30-some deacons on Sunday, and we have, more servant leaders on top of that who are trying to organize and connect and make things happen and all sorts of things. And if you're not there, or if you're could you just send me a text instead of, whatever, I know that that might not sound like a big deal, but the reality is that's contributing to the complexity that we're trying to move away from, and you're giving other people one more thing to do. Or if you're just not there, you're giving them a question mark around who hears stuff. And so genuinely, when I say RSVP for events, for group gatherings, for huddles, for whatever, register for events and let us know that you're actually going to show up. It's even super helpful if, a leader posts something or someone shares something, even if you don't have words to say in response to it, to just like the post, to let us know that you've seen a thing. And so, like, those are just helpful ways. And that's not just, like, you know, we don't have some grudge or, like, whatever against, but it's just in general talking to folks who use it, totally understand, you know, that, there's some pitfalls or some things, and I didn't get this notification or did or whatever. But also, like, some folks that are like, hey, it'd be nice if, it would be nice if folks let us know if they were coming to things. So, like, all of that being said, just encourage everyone to use it and be in. It does not have to be your favorite thing. You are able to mute. If there are chat threads in groups that you're a part of that have nothing to do with you, you can mute those and yet still hop in and check on them from time to time if you need to do that. If there are groups that you're a part of that you don't need to be in, then hop out of those groups. We would say don't leave the Village Church group where we post, you know, announcements and like big things if the church floods again. You'll want to know before you show up on a Sunday. And so stuff like that, that's where like significant things are shared. And so don't leave that group. And if you get pinged like a million times a day and you just need to turn notifications off or whatever, I totally get that. In general, big picture, this is outside of church center. Like, we should not be slaves to our phone. I know for some of us work, we might have to be available and respond to stuff. But in general, we don't want you to be a slave to app notifications and the next ding and the red bubble and all the things. And so if you need for your own sanity to, like, you know, quiet some things, totally get it. That's fine as long as you then set aside some time to just check it once a day. And that's not a law that we're putting on top of you, but that's an invitation for you to be a part of things, to contribute, to see, hey, what folks in the church might be sharing, if there are needs in the group or stuff in the team that, you know, something's blown up or needs to be swapped or whatever. Like, it's fine if you need to, like, quiet your brain by quieting your phone. But then we also just ask that you then hop in and then check on that on a regular basis, not even for our sake, but for the entire church's sake, who might be trying to share some things with you. So, if you have questions about any of that stuff, thoughts or whatever, again, let us know. We would love to hear from you. But also just an encouragement to stay in, be a part of it, use it. That is a way that you get to help serve the church or whatever. So any other, not even thoughts about that, but final thoughts in general before we wrap up, Steph?
I mean, about that in particular, we say to Star Group all the time, it's a small deal, but there is like group etiquette, you know, and whatever. And if someone says, hey, can you RSVP? Like, if there's an event created in that group, you click on the event and you click, or like you click your intentions rather than saying like, I'll be there or like in the group chat. And so, yeah, just listen to what your, whoever's leading the group, if they say, let us know this or whatever. Yeah, all that was great, Scott.
Yeah.
It's good.
Cool. Well, you can get a microphone and tell us how much Church Center sucks on Sunday at the family meeting. So that's your invitation. Stick around after the gathering. We'll have some refreshments and stuff like that. But yeah, we're trying to keep it to like 45 minutes, you know, hours max. That's, again, why we do this, is to minimize all the things that we have to say. So, yeah, hope this was helpful. You're welcome to reach out to us in advance of the family meeting if you have questions or whatever. But again, hopefully this kind of fills your brain with stuff and gives you time to chew on stuff before we gather together on Sunday for the meeting. So thanks for listening. And yeah, we'll see you there.